Hello, this is Brittany Dixon, Research Manager at APQC. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to APQC Podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to podcasts on. Today, I'm here with a woman that needs no introduction, but I'm going to do it anyway. I know her as the KM Queen Extraordinaire. She's also known as APQC's Executive Director of Client Solutions, Cindy Huber. I have her here to talk about knowledge management, which we will refer to on this podcast as KM. Hello, Cindy.
Thank you, Brittany, for having me. And what a great introduction.
I try. All right. So as someone who is new to knowledge management, I am super jazzed to get to pick your brain and just kind of dive into this. Have a little bit of background for us. So APQC has been seeing trends and the challenges our members are facing when it comes to knowledge management success inside the organization. And I believe you have come to us today with the five truths of KM that all organizations need to remember and apply to have success within their KM programs inside the organization. So without further ado, Cindy, let's dive in. Can you give me some context, background, start us off?
Absolutely, Brittany. So look, the essence of my talk today is to provide you with some guiding principles. Now, luckily, I've taken the 62 that we developed many years ago with an advanced working group in knowledge management using a TRIZ problem solving and innovation methodology, and we brought them down to the most important. So think about it this way. I've taken the five truths, and if you use these, you're going to become the powerhouse of a KM program.
Ooh, right? Powerhouse. Love that.
So again, I think that that's important to know. I want to do a little bit of stage setting, though. One of the things we all know, and our chairman, Dr. Carla O'Dell, coined this years ago as our knowledge management expert, saying knowledge is sticky. Without processes, it doesn't always flow. So it's a little bit like honey, not as much like water as you and I like to think, but it is about flow. And that is knowledge management's premier job, is to help knowledge flow. Now, we do that through a variety of things, but we focus very much on a knowledge flow process, all the way from knowledge getting created to being identified, codified and captured in some way, reviewed for quality, put in a database or still residing in people's heads. But our fun thing is to share, right? That's the next step that we all have loved so much, is how do we share knowledge and make it accessible so people can take it and use it or reuse it. And until you get to the usage stage, you're just investing a lot of time and effort. And so I hope these guiding truths will help you really think through what you're doing and focus your efforts so your investment can be minimized and you can get great value from the impact.
Ooh, love that. Love that. Okay, so truth or dare? Just kidding. Truth number one, we have it as focus on what matters. So can you tell me a little bit more about this truth?
Absolutely, Brittany. So look, nothing accelerates knowledge management like a problem. And I learned that from our friends at NASA years ago. They said, Cindy, you could take a dart and hit a problem, a knowledge-related problem, anywhere in NASA. And that's pretty profound, right, considering it's NASA. But there's some, when you start talking about focus, there's just some things that happen in most organizations. You have experts that leave. You have a new workforce coming on board all the time. There's a constant churn, not transferring lessons learned. So not really learning that lesson and certainly not paying it forward. You can't find your best practices or your best experts that you really need to hook into. And that always causes a problem. And just not knowing that the organization knows it. We never stop and ask ourselves, oh my gosh, what do we know? So KM can focus their efforts and start really looking at those problems. At the same time, KM has to look at business priorities too. And what is the business really focused on? So when you start bringing those issues of knowledge and flow to bear on priorities that knowledge management needs to support right now, like continuous learning, transfer of best practices, strategic integration, organizational agility, productivity. Those are all the things that the business cares about, innovating faster and bringing products to market a lot faster. That's what you need to focus on. And so we see a lot of knowledge management programs supporting these types of things. The other thing that we see knowledge management supporting a lot of, especially in the last few years, Brittany, is the whole digital transformation that's going on. And it's still getting a lot of buzz. AI has jumped up with the ChatGPT, I think most people are familiar about. And so if knowledge management is smart, it can really hitch its wagon to that and begin to really understand the needs and how they can enable and make all of that better. And digital is just one area, but certainly a great partnership that can be forged. So strategic integration and operating as one organization is really important. The second thing I think to focus on, and this is where I think sometimes knowledge management forgets that we are always about efficiency and helping our audience be more efficient,
right?
Also effective, but efficient. And so we did, as you know, some research last year focused on productivity because it's what we do.
Yes.
Right. It's what IBQC does. And this is all in our resource library.
It's in our name.
I will be unashamedly making plugs for the resource library.
You, Cindy, what?
Yeah. But anyway, so we looked at this from a process and a knowledge perspective. I have to admit, I was very smug when the process data came in because it said, oh, there's up to 6 hours a week that knowledge workers spend just on creating workarounds, recreating processes, because we're not sure if this is how it gets done or there needs to be a better way, or just performing busy work, which nobody really loves to do, not automated and just doing this busy work. So 6 hours, I was kind of smug going, wow. Well, then the knowledge side came in and I said, oh my gosh, it's worse because, and I'm going to belt these out for you, 2.8 hours looking for information, 1.7 hours seeking out expertise, 2 hours recreating information, and 1.7 hours providing duplicate information. Brittany, that adds up to 8.2 hours. So, oh, I was pretty humbled. But then at the same time, I went, wow, we're spending up to 14 plus hours per worker with productivity drains. And we can fix all of this, right? We understand the opportunities and the approaches to use to fix these things. So I just think you should never forget about that. And while you may not measure all of those things, like, you know, how much time do we spend recreating, you can still get a pulse check on that and begin to make some pathways to say, how do we really make people more efficient? And getting feedback on that is really important. So again, it's an area where you can focus on what matters both to the individual and to the organization, and you're just never going to be lacking the problems. So first truth, focus.
All right. First truth, focus. One down brings us to truth number two. Don't reinvent KM best practices. No one wants to reinvent that figurative wheel. So Cindy, how do we apply this truth inside the organization?
Oh man, Brittany, this is one of my biggest pet peeves because, you know, for years we went through the whole discussion of knowledge and knowledge management. Oh, I don't want to manage somebody's knowledge. People don't like that. And, you know, it is what it is, right? It's the discipline of knowledge management, and the management side is helping knowledge flow. And to do that, the first best practice is just understanding the asset you're focusing on. What is that know-how? Does it reside in standard processes and is it documented? Do we need extra in there in terms of the tacit and the experiential knowledge? How do people create specialized solutions? What are lessons really all about? That deep, deep insight of what we've learned. And that's a lesson. So focusing on that and where the gaps, the bottlenecks, the risk are, the silos, those can really help get us started in terms of adopting and putting in best practices. And so now let me say a little bit about that. By now, 25 plus years of heavy research, putting it in action, seeing it over and over again, we do that, right? We have a great portfolio that anybody coming into this space or residing in the space called knowledge management should not reinvent the wheel. You should say, there's not that many ways you can do communities of practice. Get that documented. And when somebody says, I need to collaborate, I need to get people talking to experts, give them the process, help them do it, facilitate them through it, and let them own that process. give them the lessons learned process, help them understand knowledge elicitation and capture as a means to go into transfer. How do you use a knowledge map? Those are all classic examples of activities, approaches, techniques that can be reapplied over and over again, but the difference is the context and the knowledge you're focusing on. Some knowledge is really complex. It's deep down, tacit, you got to get at it. Some is just residing sporadically in databases and we can't get to it. So that's one of the things, is really understand what is there. We always suggest take a really good inventory of what you're doing now to help knowledge flow, leverage it, build on it, make it better. So whether you've got an organic approach that's more about just use of social networking, or you've got a really systematic approach to do knowledge capture interviews and then make that available through different transfer mechanisms, it's just important to build on what we have already. Adopt those best practices and make them yours.
So what you've shared so far, it sounds like, is easy to apply and excel at KM. So loaded question, why are organizations having such a hard time?
Whew, that is a loaded question. So, you know, I'll bring it down to the truth. You've got to break down your barriers to knowledge flow. And in order to do that, you have to understand them, right? So I talked about digital earlier. Digital, and I did predict this probably along with a lot of other KM leaders, but every year we create more and more stuff. It's just easier, right? We got podcasts, we have videos, we're just putting it out there and we're storing it. And the cloud allows us to store it all. And it's gotten fairly, you know, economic to do that. But again, just even version control, having so many different versions. So digital clutter has amassed. If that is your barrier, you've got to break through that, right? Because it makes it hard to find people and expertise. Again, just one example. So there's the confusion about where content is stored, too many disconnected systems to search, a lack of available systems, not only to look for content, but the people and experts who support and who created that content. So I just think it comes down to looking at barriers through the lens of the user. What is it that they're experiencing? If people can't find what they need, look at that as your barrier. If you're talking about getting expertise out of a SME and they don't have the time, time is your barrier in doing that. Getting senior leaders on board to support your efforts, that's been an age-old barrier. How do you break that down? They probably need a really good conversation around value and impact that knowledge management is going to bring. So you can really dissect your barriers and then begin to break them down by problem solving with your users, with your leaders, whoever that needs to be, so you can get to the heart of helping that knowledge flow. So look at your barriers very closely and break it down.
All right. So we're breaking down barriers. The barriers are broken. We're not reinventing KM best practices. So how do we know a KM program is effective?
Yeah, well, here's the truth. Measure from day one. I know. So Brittany knows and is laughing because she's heard me talk and go on my platform about measuring. I love it. So here's some breakthroughs I think we've made. The truth is to measure from the get-go. And we've done a really good job in terms of measuring our adoption. So participation, how people are engaging, user satisfaction, contributions to, you know, downloads, uploads, whatever that might look like. And so we've gotten really good at that. But I think, Brittany, what I'm most excited about is I'm really starting to see knowledge management results becoming synonymous with business results. And I think that's exciting because now we're really looking through the lens of how our business partners are looking at it. And it goes beyond just time saved, like process cycle time, project cycle time, the speed of problem resolution, the speed of innovation. Time is always great. What I find is a lot of people don't measure all that time. So there's always an estimate in there. But I think what's happening is KMers are beginning to really string together and focus on knowledge sensitive measures for the business. And I'll just take one example for innovation. When you start looking at the number of ideas going into a pipeline, that's a count, right? You can see those coming in. Another way to look at it is the number of comments or contributions. Once again, an adoption measure to propose new ideas. What happens when that happens is you get better ideas and those start crystallizing and coming down to those critical few where you can acquire patents, where you can publish external papers. Those are all things the business really cares about from a technical perspective. And so I think it's just very exciting to understand how organizations are doing this. Now, you know, another plug, APQC Resource.
There it is.
She loves me doing this, by the way. She's not going to stop me. You've got to look at the value, how this paths out, the logic behind it. So if we're doing this activity and it's going to impact X, Y, and get us to Z, you've got to create that so you can communicate that, get your stakeholders to believe in it and really understand it. And that's going to get you further down the road in terms of showing value. And those value conversations are very important. But you won't get there without the truth of measure.
And APQC has a good amount of KM benchmarks that organizations can use to benchmark themselves on their KM programs. We have tons of information. It's here, it's there, it's everywhere. But this now brings us to our final and possibly most important truth. Truth number 5, engage your stakeholders.
Oh, yeah.
No plan can be executed without engagement. So Cindy, can you talk with us about how to engage everyone in the organization to practice KM?
Absolutely. So participation has always been the holy grail for knowledge management. I think we use the word adoption now because I think our business people kind of like that better. It sounds like we're doing something to them when we make them participate. But I want to give you a different way to think about engagement. And I stumbled on this a couple of years ago. We actually did a webinar on it through our research, APQC Research. And it really looks at the user, your person you're focused on, through a lens of 5 different categories. The bookends, let me describe it because it takes you through the life cycle of an employee, are the new hires and the retirees. You just want to put them in general categories. So new hires, you can kind of look at and say, oh, we want to onboard them. We want to connect them to the people they need. They want to understand their processes they're going to be executing, all that good stuff that we tend to do a fairly good job in partnering with our process partners. Retirees, we see a lot of knowledge transfer going on these days. People are really getting, experts are leaving, they do all the time, but getting a handle on when that's coming so they can begin to elicit and capture that critical knowledge, get it documented, whether that is put into a process flow, a community takes hold of it and really helps establish it as this is what we know and what we need to know. So we're getting good at retirees. But I think the middle part of the life cycle is interesting, and that consists of learners, contributors, and experts. And while not everybody's an expert, I think an expert can always be a learner and contributor. And that's what you're trying to build in that cycle of helping people constantly get information they need, access to people to collaborate with, so they begin to understand how to learn, how to apply things in a different context, to contribute back to the system. So once I've learned something, how do I share that? And we have more and more mechanisms to do that. Our social platforms have exploded, of course, and I think KM is beginning to get a really good harness on those to help that contributor have a little bit of a simplification of putting their knowledge in. And then, of course, really focusing in on those experts and helping them understand what they get back by giving out to a broader community. So that one to many opposed one to one that gets stuck in an email, Brittany, heaven forbid. So I think when you go into that, there's kind of 4 key questions to ask yourself as a part of a needs analysis for all 5 of those: new hires, learners, contributors, experts, and retirees. And these are: what are each group's biggest knowledge needs? What are the KM opportunities and interventions you need to do with these groups? If you're doing that, what tool and approach should KM use? What comes out of the portfolio to help them do what they need to do? Standard portfolio, remember, don't reinvent best practices. And how can KM best support or facilitate this group? Because that puts you in the middle of being part of the solution to help knowledge flow. So trying this, I think, really gives you a different view and a different look at how to engage people on a real personal level. And I like that.
I love that too. I can always chat with you, Cindy. Oh, awesome. Thank you. I love this. I could literally listen to you read a cookbook or IKEA instructions. And
I'm a terrible cook.
And just stare like, yes, yeah. I love that.
But the recipe is great, Brittany. And I am very sincere. I'll repeat again. There are 62 guiding principles. They're all good. Brittany and I have gone back and looked at them. They're very strong, very powerful. But boil it down to these five. If you will keep these out in front as your guidepost, you will become the KM powerhouse for your organization.
We need to make that to like a t-shirt or an inspirational poster or something. Cindy, thank you so much for joining me here today. I had an absolute blast.
I did too.
I know this is going to be one of many to come if I can get on that calendar of yours. Once again, this is Brittany Dixon. Thank you for joining us for the APQC podcast. Please make sure to subscribe, rate, review, and go out, visit the website, look up some of the information that we talked about. We'll make sure that we link it within the description. And everyone just have a wonderful rest of your day.